letter came from San Diego, but I got an invitation.
Yeah, is it for June 4th?
Yeah. Well, anytime, you know, and when I said I want to go, I really want to go.
Well, Sarah, the main problem, then it seems, was because you weren't part of their
machine. No, I was never part. I was a part of the union. I could never go wholehearted with anything that was. You see, I believe in Hillman. I thought at one time what Hillman's word was law. I believed in him. I did until he went to the White House. I thought the world now, if he came in, everything went right. It could have been, everything was wrong. And I said, Hillman will come and everything will be right. I had as much confidence in him as Sackmiller Weber. I mean, I'm making comparison, you see, after all. This is me. It's a transmission, whatever you want to call it. But I couldn't feel that way after we went to the White House. And I told him personally, I says, Brother Hillman, I says, well, I didn't vote for FDR, I voted for you. When I saw the signs cleared with Sidney, I couldn't stomach it. But that,
Well, Sarah, were the women more? It almost seems that the women were more rebellious, like Hilda out here. Hilda Goodman was not. Was she part of the machine?
Oh, she was rebellious in a different way. She wasn't woman rebellious at all. Hilda wasn't either. She was and she wasn't. Neither was I for that. I was workers. We were all workers. But primarily, I was more actively involved for the advancement of women. I was more active in it, more, how shall I say, forward, more daring. Like, for instance, we had a member of the General Legislature that was Bohemian representative, what was his name? Scala. He was a business agent, Harchester Marks, or he came in to visit. And I pointed out to him about a section of women. I said, why should these women work for so little? They put in as much time, and look at how hard they work, look at the eyes they use. They're women, they get married. You know, when they had it, and I fought, but the response from the women themselves weren't there, you see. I didn't get enough backing. I did get some backing from the more enlightened ones. Very few. If they were promised a better job by the business agent or by Frank Rosenblum, you know, they promised to be a delegate to the next convention, they easily bought and sold little favors didn't amount to anything.
Well, how about here in L.A.?
Huh?
Yeah. Were you able to get the backing of women here at all? Or was it worse here?
Here in Little Arts, there was there was no question. There was no question. I got, for instance, when this guy became manager, and they started out of the animal bases, and I wanted to make a stop, and so I got the compliment. They worked along with me. They didn't know whom to blame. Although probably they knew that I was in back of it, but they covered me up. I did that in Harshest and Marx in the early days of. It's still a hard thing to. It's still the more enlightened person, more enlightened woman that will give you cooperation or give you an ear, lend you an ear.
Well, Cyril, how about, for instance, the women who got the scholarship? Do you think that they were interested in helping other women, or were they mainly interested in their own career?
That's a set part of it. Now, the first one is out altogether.
Oh, she's no longer working?
No.
She's just out doing it.
The other one is a black one. So I thought there not very long ago. And I got a picture taken. I said, what are you doing here? She says, well, I tell you, this is her answer. She says, my people don't want to work in the tailor shop anymore. They want something better. I said, what about the others? They're interested in themselves.
Now, is she still in the union, the second one?
Yeah, she's business agent.
Oh.
She is a business agent, all right. And they forgot all about why they're there, or what made it possible for them to be there. The thing is, you look, in Chicago, for instance, I was interested to promote workers' education. Now, even before I went to Brookwood, Professor Douglas, I think, was there before I went to Brookwood, my memory serves me.
It's a wing circle?
Yeah,
he was.
And we had other educators. And then we had these outstanding concert and choirs, singing choirs. I mean, we were always. The fact is, I think you come across somewhere where I say the only life thing, I think I was in Brooklyn, the only life local, life activity is still local to 75. It was very much alive. And now it's, as I say, I was stuck in last Wednesday. Isn't it criminal? I was aware of the fact that came to a local meeting. Biggest representation was from Luart.
So how many workers were there in Luart?
There was one time was 200. That was the most, I guess. I gotta look up the record.
We have a visitor here. There's something I forgot to ask you about. The election in the shop. So when the young man decided not to run, the only way... Why did you then decide to run after all? Because you didn't like the person who he was...
Of course not. Absolutely. He knew the whole thing. You see, the end was fatal. And the what I would like, and maybe I'll do it yet, see, I never went back to the shop, not even to visit. I gotta show you the letter I got from the employer when I retired.
Yeah. When you lost the election?
Yeah. Have you got that letter?
I got it.
They got a picture in newspapers at the. Now he admits, and he hopes that he'll get the same cooperation. I could have, you know, it takes a certain type. Anyways, what else do you
Well, Sarah, why did things, it seems like after the election, there was a 3-year period where it wasn't too bad in the shop, and then it started getting worse and worse. You talked about, that's when you wrote the thing about the son of a bitch Posner, and all kinds of stuff was going on in the shop, not just with you, with other people too.
Of course, that's what hurt me. I wasn't concerned about myself.
But there was about 3 years it was all right, and then it started getting bad again. What do you recall?
No, it was never all right.
Oh.
No, I don't think so. See, it was, for a while it was quiet. You see, I don't remember, you know, it's so much water has gone through, but it was never the same. The bosses started to take advantage. With the knowledge of the officials of the union. Go ahead, you know, they didn't want to be bothered. It's no joke to have responsibility, to have on your mind that the shipment has to be out. And this section is undermanned, and this section is overmanned, and how to balance it, and where to cut down, and where to increase, and where not. I mean, you really have to be an expert, and they have the amalgamated. If you go through the history, they're most of them learn to be expert. They're not born with it. But some of them acquire it, and others never succeed. Like in school, some students are better than others. Some become great professors, others never reach the stage. Something that after, see, I started from the collar, and then I went through the whole garment. I was no magician. All right, I took the two fronts originally. I didn't remain there.
Well, when did you start the leadership training program at Lewart? Was that after you were chairwoman, or when you were still chairwoman that you started?
Oh, no, I started all those things while I was chairlady.
But that continued, didn't it? Because there's a picture.
After I was through, everything went. They didn't continue, they continued until I was in the shop. After that, everything went kaflooey. After I left the shop, see, I was still a sort of influence, indirect. But indirectly. But see, my sister used to write the bulletin, in the bulletin, with my help. And while I was there, I put somebody else, and I used to write, but I put somebody else's name on. And as she says in one of the bulletins, she says, to follow through, to cooperate, and so on and so on. It was too bad. It was too bad that it didn't take. It didn't take because they didn't. So there wasn't. This was an example that should have been used throughout. Not only in the city, but throughout the country.
Now, is Lewart the only one where you had this, where there was this kind of program? Were there other shops here that had it?
There are no place in the country that had what we had in Lewart. No worse.
Now, how was the program set up exactly?
What do you mean, how it was set up?
It
was just set up this way. I went, I went to Ruth Miller, and I told her, I said, look, we have people here that go out to organize after a day's work. They want to know more about it. I want a training class, an educational class for that purpose, from this shop alone. She said, why not? And there you have it.
So who did the, what was the class exactly? I mean, was it a formal class?
Absolutely formal. We had all kinds of professors from various universities.
Oh, was this in the evening or during shop
hours? After work.
In the shop or?
No, in the union office. Oh. Everything, for me, it was the union office. You see, before Ruth came in, we, from Lou Arts only, had a library committee. They went there after work to give out books. And we agitated and propagandized, calling people to come to the library and get books and read books. Nothing of the kind happened after that. Well, after Ruth came in, she disbanded all that. She didn't want it. She'd take care of everything.
Oh, it became professionalized.
Yeah.
Well, Sarah, then with this education class, how many times a week did it meet? Just once a week?
I don't remember. I think it was twice a week. I don't recall. You see, they gave out the graduation certificate and regular forms.
And this was on, there weren't any other people who came to this? It was
no, just Lou Arts. We had our own picnics. Everything was just Lou Arts.
Now, how many people came to these classes?
Well, you have a picture on it. You have a picture
of it. Looks like about 30, probably.
Or more than that. Well, I think, I don't know exactly. I won't, but they were all...
And who arranged the lectures? Ruth did, or you did?
Ruth. Mm-hmm. Ruth. Of course, I was on the committee. With somebody else on the committee. Oh, Ruth prepared the lectures and...
Now, did it, in fact, help people? That, I mean, what happened to the people who took the course? Did it help them to gain positions at all or not?
It wasn't a question of getting positions. It was a question of them knowing more about the union, educating to the point where they remain loyal to the union and to go out, if necessary, to... consult or get people to join the union, non-union people, talk to them, persuade them.
Did any of them go on to do that?
Oh, yeah, most of those people that you see on the pictures went out to do organization work.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't, you see, if we had a strike or a picket line was announced, you asked people on the front lines. And
how much of it do you think was a personal loyalty to you, and how much do you think was an ideology that they had?
Well, like in life in general, as I explained to you, there are some people, they go to school, some are good students, others, some remained loyal trade unionists. There are some of those people that I know, you meet people today, that were under my influence, that will never walk through a picket line. Never. Others goes over their head. they can get it cheaper. Even though they were in the same place, they listened to the same speeches that I gave them. I worked with them, I played with them. I went this far, especially when it came to the ethnic group, to the Mexicans, for instance. When I saw a youngster, I didn't care who he was. Schwartz, Mexican, Japanese, whatever they were. I was interested in promoting them. Get him active. I took a Mexican boy. I think he was a young married man. I'll show him to you on the picture. Now, how much do I know about public speaking? I don't know the elementary. I got his name for a moment. I said, now you go home. Go to your room. Go before your mirror. And I wrote out a little speech for him. Open your mouth. Why? And I told him exactly what to do. Come back tomorrow morning. Come to my machine. And deliver me this speech. And it's to that extent. Who in the hell would do it? It's crazy. Another a thing like that is outstanding in my own mind, because I didn't do it to everyone. Mm-hmm. It would be impossible. But then I saw any possibility that I showed some sign. There was one bum Italian, a youngster. Oh, I wanted to make something out of him so bad. He was so attractive. And asked me. He was about 19, 20 years old, you know. And I thought to myself, wouldn't that be nice if I could make something, lead it out of him?
Well, Sarah, didn't the powers that be resent your doing this?
But evidently, sure they did. I was unaware of it. I was naive. I was naive in many things. I was very naive. My sister used to tell me, she said, you don't know what they do behind your back. I didn't care. The truth is that I didn't care. I went about my way. I thought this is my... As I look back, and I can see where I was more naive than I thought I was. I knew that I was... I didn't care. As long as I was convinced I was doing the right thing, that I wanted to help. I didn't want to hurt. So they did me wrong. So they did. But sometimes it came to pass, it was almost impossible. God, sometimes it was so hard on me. I couldn't sleep, and I used to curse myself. I didn't curse anybody else. Why? Why can't they see it? Why did they do it? Why? Well, that's why we have wars. That's why they can't settle the strike in Amethyst.
Well, Sarah, did any of these, say, like even the best ones who came through the class and everything, did any of them have the kind of ideology about what a union meant in terms of capitalism that you did, or was that all part of the past?
I think that some of them did that I didn't even know about. Some of them were even class conscious.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think there were some. There were some. Very few. There were, you see, I had a conglomeration. As I told you some times ago, I had some rabid communist in there, and if they would have had my power, I wouldn't have worked there.
Oh, in the shop?
Yeah.
There were? Oh.
See? Now, I never the last thing in my life that I deprived anybody. Black woman, Laura Mitchum. I'd like you to see some of the letters. They're in there. You can still look at what were they going to say?
Wait, I think she probably started to talk about the communists in the shop.
Yeah, I say, there was one special I can still see him. He's such a rabid communist. And whoever he could, dug me, you know, put obstacles in my way. And I just, I could have kicked him out, you know. I had an awful lot of power there. And whatever power I didn't have, I took. I had nerve. I mean, there's no question about it that I had a lot of nerve. Ignorance is a bliss sometimes. Nobody would dare. I didn't wait for no instructions from the company or from the union. I thought it was right, I did it, that's all there is to it. But this particular man, so I confront him with it. Well, don't you like it? So I thought to myself, so what? So what am I going to do?
Now, when was this, sir? Was this in the 50s already?
Yeah. I thought to myself, so what? So I get rid of them. So then what? What will I gain by it? I never touched. There was a Schwarzenegger girl came in on the floor girl. And she appeared to me. But I thought she was, and some are so clever and so up on everything that goes on, so alert. I thought to myself, boy, she'd make a good worker for the union. Well, I took it off the floor and put it on a machine, made an operator hour. I soon find out that she was a commie. So what the hell you got? Oh, she put the skit under me. I'm just telling you that.
Is that the only group of workers who were class conscious? Were the ones who were the conscious?
Oh no, they weren't class conscious. They were clever. Some of them were pretty clever, and I liked them. They could, you know, if they give me an honest fight, I didn't care at all. Then I had a shop chairman. This was when I was working the office, and I worked in the office. And a shop chairman, he was a commie. Nice fellow. He's out in near San Francisco, got a chicken farm now. I liked him very much. He was a commie. He was on the level until one day I was already working. This was a working lure. We had started talking about the war. He was telling me about. So I remind him that Stalin is sending oil and wheat to Spain. He called me a liar. And that's all I needed. But he made a good shot sermon. I didn't touch him. I didn't mean that. This is not Russia after all, it's still America. I mean, I use certain discretion. It would have been the other way around, I'd have no chance, but I know it. Whatever they could squeeze me, they would. They did.
Well, sir, like when you would find out, like with this young black woman, say that someone was a communist, were you opposed to seeing them in the leadership position in the union?
A what?
Were you opposed to seeing them in the leadership position in the union?
I wasn't opposed to that. She attended these classes. I think she's on the picture.
I mean, would you have wanted her, for instance, to be
business
a chairwoman or business agent? Or?
No, not necessarily. No, I wouldn't want her in any leadership.
Because of the past experiences of what might happen, you mean?
No, I'd rather have one of my own. Don't think I want to deliberately put a communist in power. Not me. I don't. A real communist, a philosophical communist, in the true sense of the meaning, I don't think I'm any different. The fact is, that's what they all told me I was in the wrong pew. They all took me for it. My God. Ye gods. Arnbeck, who was the head of the needle trade alliance, he's at the bottom, I suppose. You seem to know quite a bit of the communists.
Well, I know a lot about the internal struggles in the union.
The what?
The internal battles that went on.
Well, your brother-in-law was one of them, wasn't he?
Yeah, but not because of him. I mean, I know a lot about the Wobblies and all the unions, what happened.
All of them? Come on. Okay, bless him, Rose. I tell you, I don't see how you got on this subject anyways. You're not serving communism. Or
I was trying to determine how much class consciousness there is.
All I can tell you is people that were under my influence, there are a good many that will never cross a picket line. And this is as far as I can tell you. The day would go out and sacrifice themselves to the extent that I did, I don't know how many would do it. I don't know. I'll say that, unfortunately, very few would give up what I gave up to obtain or to do things that I did. Why should they? I mean, I don't blame them. We live under a system. That I don't approve. I tried in my humble way to rectify. Well, who the hell am I? But all right, I did what I can in my own humble way. That's all. And I don't expect everybody to. I try to tell them, but I would never force them to do what I do. I'd appreciate if they would do it. However, as the saying goes, well, I was shop chairlady or business agent. You had to abide by the rules. You had to attend meetings. One of my strict rules was you had to attend meetings.
Of the local or the shop meetings?
Both. And you had to have a damn good reason. If there was a picket line to attend to, whether it was 5 o'clock or 7 o'clock, you had to have a damn good reason. Now, you're not picketing for me. You're selling your skin as well as mine. To me, that was the prime reason for belonging to a union. It's a bread and butter proposition. I have a right to strike for an entirely new social structure. That's my, but right now, this is a union for bread and butter. In order to obtain it, you've got to help it along. You can't do it by sitting your head behind. You got to help it. You got to go on the picket line and try to convince that bastard over there not to go in scrubbing. Do what's necessary. Shake hands with him. The idea. You will never go. You will never go in scrubbing. They didn't know what it was all about. Now I didn't. My father didn't teach me how to shake hands like that. I was stuck by Frank Rosenblum's lieutenant. They showed me. No, really. But then you see, I'm rough. I say son of a bitch and bastard and all that in the shop. I never allowed it. They had to be. I was very nice. Believe it or not. No. I believed in conducting myself honorably. And I said, I didn't allow them gambling in the office. I didn't allow as much as they hated me for it. What else do you want to know?
Now, Sarah, what finally led to your retirement?
My age.
Well, why did you pick that particular age?
65. I thought 50 years was enough, but I wouldn't have retired. You see, I wanted to keep up my activities. I loved my activities. I didn't miss this. I never missed a shop. I didn't care. I wasn't. It's funny. I wasn't born a tailor. I cried to be a tailor, but I love to be active in the union. I love my union. I love to be a person. When I came back from Brooklyn, my brother-in-law, that's my niece's father, Rose's husband, when I came back from Brooklyn, he made out a welcome home, amalgamated, he called it, you know, fun. Did you come across that? I assumed that. I was called the amalgamated. I loved my union very much. I was very fond of it. And I still, because it's so, I think everything deteriorates. Now, I go back to Frank Rosenblum. He had a head on him. I say intellectually he was superior to all of them. He told me this all about better than 50 years ago. About 50 years ago. He says, sir, everything deteriorates. Even a steel structure. I'm sorry to say that it came to pass. Frank, darling, you're deteriorating. And personally, I didn't give a damn for you, but intellectually, I admired him. I admired him greatly. There are other things that I use. And he did me wrong all the way. He wasn't the only one, I think. All right. But what he did for the union as a whole, I don't think any other leader in the union did as much. So I hold his memory in that respect very highly. Never cared for him personally, although at the last stages he was mellowed, he was warm, he always embraced me. And when he was younger, when he touched me, I wanted to vomit. And then the woman was just dying for, I don't know, I never had that feeling. I had a warm feeling for Sam all the time. He was a fatherly type. Schlossberg, a rabbinical type. Ruth's father, a very nice, wholesome, honest, the Yiddish Zionist that I didn't agree with. But he was honest. You see, you can be a Catholic, you can be a whatever you want to be. You're straight and honest, you're not a hypocrite. That counts an awful lot in my life.
Well, Sarah, you picked 1958 because it was 50 years that you worked. Is that why you picked 1958 to retire?
Well, I was 65 years of age, and as I say, I wouldn't have retired, but it made my life miserable, and I figured, I left Chicago, all those people that made my life miserable. Now, if I would be religious, if I would believe in retribution, I would say that God punished them all. They all died. All those that made my life miserable. And I left Chicago, and I said, you guys will drop dead of the machine. I'm going to the city of sunshine. I'm going to live. And I came out, how I suffered, nobody knows. But I am here. You see, now, I never wanted to show how I felt. When you came in this morning, I was in such a pain. I don't know whether you noticed it or not, but I wasn't pain. I'm over it now. I was in pain during the night, but I get over it. I mean, maybe you're responsible for it, the way you helped me, looking at you. I make you feel good anyway. Oh, well, that's a fact. I never wanted to give those people that deliberately hurt me. I didn't want to give them the satisfaction to drop their presence.
But you weren't any sicker when you retired than you had been before that, were you?
Oh, when I retired?
Yeah, it wasn't because you were sick or felt worse than you had before, was it?
Oh, yeah. It was pretty much. You know that I could have collected unemployment insurance for a hell of a long time. I couldn't stand in line, and I didn't want to be bothered. It was $35, whatever it was. I said, the hell with it. I'd rather not. See, that's how much I cared about. I couldn't have worked any longer. But I wanted to stay active, and I could. Then I could have devoted my time to activities in the go out and talk to a local meeting or speak to go out of town like I did several times. Did you read some of Gene Hall's letters?
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to. I looked through some of that because of the fight that's going